This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Aaron Rodgers, bless you, man. If I called Susie and said, hey, 4 months ago, this is when Valentine's Day is when I decided to go into 4 days of darkness, that would be the end. If she'd be like, stay in darkness, I don't want to see it.
Earlier on the show, from NBC Sports, Peter King, Emmy Award-winning actor Henry Winkler. Coming up, co-host of CBS Mornings, Nate Burleson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great first 2 hours where we had Peter King in hour number one giving us his thoughts on the aftermath of Super Bowl 57, what happened that night, and talking to Andy Reid that night about the plays that put the Chiefs up on top and then up by eight. The touchdowns by Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore right and left, and then talking about the offseason story he thinks that will be number one on the hit list in the NFL. And he said, what's going on with Lamar Jackson? I push back and think the storyline of the offseason is the one that's going to last all the way to April, and that's what do the Bears do with their first overall selection. I think they're going to make everyone think that they're going to take somebody at quarterback to get the biggest amount of draft capital they can get to surround Justin Fields with a winning team. That's the way I think it's going to go. Also, during the first 2 hours, we spoke to Henry Winkler, the delightful Patrick Mahomes super fan. And he told us how he watched the Super Bowl, what he thought about it, told us when Barry's coming back, also the mystery of Chuck Cunningham. What happened to the lost Cunningham kid?
We always wondered.
You didn't think I was going there with him, did you?
Nope. I was hoping.
But I did. And then during the first 2 hours, I booked Warren Sapp for an in-studio visit tomorrow. Ken Marino of Party Down is back.
Nice.
He's here in hour number three tomorrow. That's how we're rolling into Thursday. We still have an hour left on this program. As soon as this is over, if you missed any of the first 2 hours, we re-air on the Roku channel, channel 210. And you could check us out on the Roku channel every day from 12 to 3 Eastern live for free. And that's on all Roku devices, select Samsung smart TVs, on Amazon Fire TV. The Roku app has the Roku channel within it. That's free there. And the RokuChannel.com if you just want to type it into your computer. Most likely at work, but don't worry. You just pop up the screensaver when your boss walks by. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. The parade's going on right now. Everybody's going crazy. I'm watching Kelce signing autographs for fans. A lot of fun for the Kansas City Chiefs. There he is. There's Kelce with his mom. Loved meeting Donna and Ed this past weekend, too, right? We had them on our Rich Eisen Show big game bonus special, as we called it on the Roku channel.
They had a week. They were the biggest celebrities in Phoenix, it felt like.
Good for them.
Yeah, like Travis told his mom, like, best week of your life, best year of my life.
Love it. There's lots of talk that Patrick Mahomes' wife is demanding an apology from the critics of the Chiefs and pundits who picked against him. I'm in both camps, right? I chose the Raiders to beat the Chiefs in the AFC West, but then did a nice little heel turn. Picked the Chiefs to win the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. Lone wolfed on the set of NFL Game Day Morning, the AFC Championship game. Mooch chose against Andy Reid both times.
I was shocked.
He turned his back on it.
Nobody on the Fox set picked the Chiefs.
I heard that.
They all went Eagles.
I heard that. And Nate Burleson, who chose the Chiefs along with me on the set of NFL Game Day Morning on Sunday, and nailed the final score, 38-35, and nailed it was going to be Mahomes winning the MVP. He's joining us in about 15 minutes' time right here. The story that's du jour in the NFL quarterback carousel while we're waiting for Aaron Rodgers' decision. And apparently the darkness therapy, it's not an all-night, all-day thing. It's a four-day thing, and it's not a sitting alone in darkness thing. We did our redo of our coverage of his darkness therapy in hour number one because we were kind of, what's the word for it, way off yesterday because he gave the details while we were on the air, while he was on Pat's show. Yeah. So while we're waiting for that, the story and the quarterback carousel, it's already started to spin because Derek Carr is now a free agent. We knew it, guys. We knew it. The minute we heard coming off of that Christmas Eve game that I called on NFL Network in Pittsburgh, where the Raiders were up again and they couldn't hold on to the lead again. And Carr threw a couple of interceptions, including his last pass as a Raider was an interception. And that they sent him home. And they wanted to see what they had in Jarrett Stidham. As soon as you heard that, and then you heard the news about how the Tuesday after the Super Bowl at 4 p.m. Eastern time, the Raiders had to either pay him or guarantee him the $40 million for this year or cut him. Mm-hmm. You knew when they had sent him home, this was the end. This was the absolute end. Now, the Raiders, to their credit, made it sound like, oh, we could trade him. It's entirely possible we could trade him. And it's just like, well, who's going to acquire a $40 million contract? Yeah. Who's going to acquire that when we know you're not going to pay him that by the evidence that you've sent him home? You're not going to risk him getting injured in the final two games of the year. Clearly, you intend to no longer play him anymore. So why are we going to acquire this and give you draft capital and we could just get him for nothing when he's a free agent? Other than obviously having to pay him his salary, but no compensation comes to you. And why would Derek Carr accept a trade somewhere else with a renegotiated contract when he could just sign a new contract with the team and leave the Raiders empty-handed? Certainly, one would think that's the way he would feel. I would prefer to leave the Raiders empty-handed at the end of this since I was sent home for Christmas. And that's the way it all played out. So now he is a free agent. And I have a top five list for you. Top five places where Derek Carr would fit best. Hit it. Number five on the list. They need one. I believe they need one. It's entirely possible they could still stick with the guy that they have there. But the Tennessee Titans wouldn't be a bad spot. Titans wouldn't be a bad spot for him. You go to the AFC South. I know that's getting a little bit more stout. The Colts are looking for a new quarterback there. The Jaguars just won this division. But the way that the Jaguars won the division is because the Titans completely fell apart. This is a team that's got a lot of winning pieces, including that head coach. I kind of feel like Derek Carr and Vrabel would vibe. I don't know. Just kind of get it. And plus, you're living there in Nashville. I think he would probably dig that. Living there in Nashville, you're going to the AFC South. It's not all the pressure in the world that's upon you. I think that's not a bad fit. Handing off to Derrick Henry works. You're worried about a run game. You just watched your Alabama running back win the rushing title. Derrick Henry can do that. I kind of like that fit. Derek Carr goes there. They can win that division and make the playoffs and make some hay, I really feel. Number four on this list. This would take some doing. It would be a shock. It would kind of be a shock to move on from their young quarterback and sign this guy. But if there is any smoke between this team and their young quarterback, maybe the New England Patriots is a fit for Derek Carr, Chris. What do you think? Belichick takes Derek Carr in under his wing and they bring him in and it's a veteran, you know? Obviously, he would hear from McDaniels, what's up? Maybe that might turn him off if McDaniels didn't like some of the things Carr did or wasn't a fit, so to speak. But maybe Bill will take McDaniels' guy and roll with him.
Yeah, Carr will be 32 at the start of next year.
This is a very young, veteran, prideful man at quarterback, sir. I don't know. I kind of think Derek Carr with that run game, and you have to do too much. Hey, Derek, we don't have to need you to throw for 400 yards. I don't know. That would be a bad fit.
We need D-Hop, too, if we're going to get Derek Carr.
Maybe you can. Who knows? Well, I don't think the cap is very friendly for these maneuvers, but I just think it's not a bad fit if Mac Jones.
Not bad.
and the Patriots aren't somehow on the same page.
I don't hate it.
Number three, we're getting to some more obvious choices. The New York Jets would be a fit. I'm not going to buy into this whole sense that Carr can't handle the New York spotlight. I think the New York fan seeing Carr and just seeing that guy that shows up at a press conference with his eyes filled with tears saying some guys in that locker room aren't believing and I put my ass on the line, and he doesn't use that language. Remember when he came out and he started talking about how some of the guys in the locker room aren't trying as hard, and he was giving that implication and his tears in his eyes? I think New York fans would kind of buy into that, and it kind of is vibing the same stuff as Garrett Wilson. Like, the accountability that Derek Carr takes, I think, would meet the moment in New York City. Of course, some of the Derek Carr moments that we saw in blowing leads, it's not all on him, but, you know, he would have to have a thick skin. And I'm not going to ascribe that he's, you know, this wallflower in Oakland and Vegas that can't handle the heat. He's also not out there to create the heat on him. The weapons there too, man. I mean, Breece Hall with Garrett Wilson and the rest of that team and the offensive line getting better and the defense right there, Carr wouldn't be a bad fit in New York at all. Number two on this list, if you want to talk about pressure, this would be, in my mind, the most pressure-packed situation. And I know I just mentioned New York and New England. You never want to be the guy after the guy. You just don't ever want to be the guy after the guy. And somebody's going to have to be the guy after the guy in Tampa. I mean, Derek Carr throwing a Evans and Godwin, right? Don't you think he would fit there with these guys? Throw deep, baby? I don't know. We'll have to see what their offensive style is going to be. And
Rashard White is emerging as a big-time back.
This is a team that we all know made the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and I don't know what the team's going to look like as their credit card bills that they might have created by creating the room for Brady to win now in that window. I don't know how that's going to leave the aftermath of this team, but that's not a bad spot for him to go to. NFC South, let's go. That's not a bad division to go into and try and win now. Number one on the list is another NFC South team. You know, this was yesterday. Dan Orlovsky mentioned this, and I've been thinking a lot about it since he said it. Carolina is a great spot. Frank Reich takes Derek Carr under his wing and says, let's go. The quarterback whisperer for, we all know, Wentz and Foles, and didn't work out in Indianapolis this past year, but I kind of think Carolina is a great spot and the best fit for Derek Carr. Let's go. That's the way I'm going right there for my top five spots for Derek Carr.
You think we need one more?
I'll give you one more.
All right, we'll get one
Don't
more.
Don't worry, Chris. It's not a Verizon commercial.
Thank
I told
God.
You the
Thank
bit's done.
God.
This one is way off the radar screen because we're all assuming they're going in a certain direction with their guy who they did great stuff with this year. But just in case it doesn't work out, don't you think Seattle would be a nice spot for Derek Carr? For Pete?
Derek Carr strikes me as a Pete guy.
Don't you think him with the 12s and DK and the running game and just him being there in the NFC West, he trades the AFC West for the NFC West. Don't you think Derek Carr in Seattle would just be a nice fit? And again, I know I said that he could handle the New York spotlight, but in case he's a guy who would prefer to not have that bright, hot spotlight on him, him going to the 12s, if for some reason Geno Smith prices himself out of the market or the Seahawks and he don't strike a deal, don't you think Derek Carr would be a good spot for Seattle? I can't get that one out of my brain. And I know I haven't mentioned the Saints here, and that's the team that already raised their hand saying, we'll take him now. I'm not just buying. I mean, I need to see Alvin Kamara play a full season, looking like the guy that from a couple years ago. Michael Thomas, what's up with can't guard Mike? I know Peter King called it an offense with Derek Carr that can win right now, and Olave was an offensive rookie of the year candidate.
Love it. Nice.
I don't know. If I'm Derek Carr, I would choose Carolina or the Bucks, even though the Saints do have a terrific defense. As a fit, right? Carolina, your head coach is the You got two defensive-minded coaches. You were talking yesterday. You want to have a head coach who's the OC and or the offensive side of the ball as well? Frank Reich is your guy.
So I think, personally, yeah.
And I know Pete's not that guy in Seattle either. I got to point that out. Or Robert Saleh with the Jets. Or, you know, the Bucks. Like, I'm mentioning a lot of defensive-minded guys right here.
But those are teams that need quarterbacks.
That's correct. That's my top five list of spots for Derek Carr. Who, by the way, the Raiders, quite a day of cuts. They cut Derek Carr. Welcome to the Ball Brotherhood.
Oh, my gosh.
Mark Davis.
I couldn't believe this.
Mark Davis, welcome to the Bald Brotherhood. And I saw him on Saturday night at the owner's dinner that was thrown by Michael Bidwell. He had the bowl cut. He had the bowl cut still. I mean, the autumn wind is the super cut.
This was long overdue.
And I got to tell you, I mean, it's a very Daddy Warbucks shocker of a look. It's a very Lex Luthor
look. That's what I was thinking. Lex
Luthor. But whoever looked at him and said, hey, Mark, boo, honey, you know.
It's time.
I put it up there one more time. I give the blue check mark there.
Here's the thing.
Well done, Mark Davis.
He wasn't balding. So you were was it a balding. Wig the whole time?
I don't know.
It was just a bad haircut.
It was a bad haircut
for a while. Or if it was a wig.
It was a bad wig.
That's like milk. It's on occasion a bad choice.
Yeah. Now he needs to grow a goatee. Well done. He needs to get the Stone Cold look. Now he's bald.
Oh.
He needs a goatee. And then he'll look like, you know, because the Raiders are fearsome, man. We fear Raider fans. So put the goatee on, you know.
And I understand this is a lush history of the Raiders, okay? And I'm not fully well familiar with every single transaction. Biggest cut day in the history of the Raiders? Derek Carr. Mark Davis's bowl cut. Biggest cut day in the history of the Raiders organization.
The hell going on?
Right?
I think it was a wig the whole
time. No. The whole time?
No.
Bro, how could you think that was a wig all these years?
Wow.
Because he wasn't balding, okay?
So what does that matter?
You don't go from
0 to 60.
Full head of hair.
Look at that.
Chris.
Look at that hair.
That doesn't look like
Chris, that looks like a wig.
How are you going to fix that?
You just take it off, and you're like, I'm done with it.
Yeah, you take the hair off. That's not a wig. Why would somebody make a conscious decision to have that as a wig?
I don't know.
Why would you, of all the wig pieces you could have if you had a wig, why would you pick that?
It's a choice. Let's put it that way.
A poor one if that was the case.
It's a choice. I don't think so. But this one?
I need a full story.
Mark Davis, welcome to the Bald Brotherhood, sir. We welcome you with open arms.
Get that goatee going.
It looks like he's already got one,
but it's gray.
He's already working it.
Oh, it's coming in.
He's working it. Well done, Mark Davis. Welcome to the club.
I'm not in it.
I don't think Brotman wants him.
Take that bowl cut and...
I wanted it to be real.
Here's where I think of this thing. I feel like Elaine. Throw it out the window.
I hate this.
More likely... Okay.
Yes.
Mark Davis was wearing a wig. Mahomes never injured.
Mahomes was injured.
Can we go both of those being never injured? Like, no.
He's jumping around on the float today.
Yeah, he's jumping around. It's too quick.
Like, what are we doing?
3 days.
He was hurt.
Nope.
That's the one thing that this guy is not is a drama king. He's not full of drama.
And the Academy Award goes
he's not full of drama.
Rich, you'd be surprised.
And that wasn't a wig. How about that? Not everything's got to be an either-or proposition. Yeah,
right? By the way, the amount of people on Twitter going, oh, see, he wasn't hurt. You can't, like, not be hurt and run like that. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, you can.
People, yes, you can.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. And you can also have a bowl cut and then shave it off. And just stroll out there.
I don't know.
Like,
man.
Bob Barker once came out for pricey games and was
from
like
dark to gray.
Yeah. And you're like, what the hell happened? What's going on?
I mean, I once had a, I told you I had a fantasy football draft. The guy had a full beard. He went to the bathroom. He came out clean shaven.
That happens.
It just happens.
It happens.
The hell going on?
That's right.
Am I reading this right?
Let's take a break. Nate Burleson, when we come back, we'll ask him about his Super Bowl prediction, where that one came from, and then all that craziness on Twitter with Juju and A.J. Brown and Tyreek. That's next. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and one-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. Monster.com can help you tackle the job hunt and make your next career move. In football and in life, there's the regular season, and then there's the playoffs. Monster.com knows that scoring your next job, that's a playoff moment. To bring your A game, you need Monster.com. Looking to change positions and join a new team? Monster can help. Monster.com has millions of job openings and great coaching and career advice for a strong performance when it counts. Plus, when you upload your resume to Monster.com, you can be recruited by employers before they even post their jobs. Monster.com specializes in building the right teams for employers and knows how to match you with those job fits. When you score the position, Monster.com's salary calculator ensures you're paid what you're worth. The regular season is history, and we all know the playoffs are no time for messing around. It's time to get off the sidelines and go to Monster.com and win the job hunt. Monster.com. The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network is back here with the live Roku stream, Roku channel stream, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk right now. Furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Had a great time hanging with this guy for several hours on the NFL Game Day morning Super Bowl set on Sunday in Arizona. He nailed the final score. He nailed the winner. He nailed the MVP right down to the dot. He nailed it, stuck the landing. CBS Morning's co-host and the NFL Today analyst, as well as an NFL Network guy from back in the day on Good Morning Football. One of my favorites and one of yours, Nate Burleson, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Nate?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. I want to ask you about the Super Bowl first, but tell me your pick six numbers, if you don't mind. You got
well,
those?
You know what? I don't want to give everybody else a clue into what's coming, so I'll just shoot you a text. So.
Yeah. You got and throw the Powerball in just in case I want to do that one, too. Okay?
I got you, my brother. I got you.
My gosh, Nate. You got you. And the funny thing is that you gave Patrick Mahomes the MVP, and we were going to do that a segment later in the commercial break. You're like, yeah, I gave you the MVP too early. I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. And it worked. You nailed it all. My goodness.
Yeah, I remember you looking at it. He was like, oh, don't worry about it. We'll get to that segment in just a bit. But I felt compelled in that moment. You know, it's funny because people kept asking me, or they keep asking me, you know, how did I come up with this formula? Did I pull it out of my you-know-what, or was it something I actually thought about? And it is something I thought about. I was convinced that there would be some creative play calling. You know, I call for 4+ trick plays.
Yeah.
Didn't necessarily get that, but I just knew that Andy Reid was going to try to do whatever he can to help alleviate some of the pressure from Patrick Mahomes in that offense. And with the receivers being banged up, that just made sense. Then when it comes to Patrick Mahomes, I'm thinking about offensively, okay?
Yeah, right.
Unless there's a wide receiver or running back that has an explosion, it's most likely going to go to the quarterback. You know, and I know that there's a couple of defenders that could possibly get that award in that game, but for me, the QB is usually the favorite. Now, when it comes to the score, I don't want to give away all of the ways that I kind of break down the scores per week, because let's just call it what it is. On a weekly basis, I'm not going to give you that 100% of the time.
Right.
But it's simple. It's not going to be a low-scoring game. So I'm going to eliminate anything from 7 to 10. And then from 10 to 20, I do believe that these teams are more explosive than that. Now we're talking 20 to 30. That's usually the sweet spot. Everybody's like, oh, 24 to 21, 28 to 24.
That was mine. 24 is mine, yeah. Uh-huh.
And then from there, I have to figure out if this is going to be a 50-point game by either one of the squads. No, 40-point game. That's going to be tough to do with these defenses. Now we have to land in the range that I thought it was going to be, 38-35, excluding PATs, field goals, and maybe even some safeties. I had to figure out the exact sweet spot, and that's what I landed on. So it's more to me, it's more to just me saying, oh, this is a random score I'm thinking about. And that's why I landed.
And I'm sure, Nate, we share this in common, which is not only trying to be accurate and entertaining in your on-air style as well as information dispensing, but maybe most importantly, you want to be right. So at what point in the game did you realize the score was materializing in such a way that you could be exactly right, Nate? At what point of Super Bowl 57 did that dawn upon you on Sunday?
You know what's funny, Rich? The entire time, I thought that one of your predictions was going to come true.
And that is?
You said that this is going to be the first double overtime game. Yes. That's all I could think about. I just kept thinking about it. I was like, no, Rich is going to be right. Look at this score. Right. They're going back and forth like a tennis match. And boom.
Yeah.
Right before that flag on Bradbury holding Juju, that's when I thought, oh, this is going to be my score. But up until that point, I thought that you were right, man. I thought we were headed for an epic overtime Super Bowl game.
Now, that's and you, in bringing up the Bradbury hold, there's lots to talk about that. Nate Burleson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about the James Bradbury hold, Nate. Did you like the call? Did you think it should have been called, not called? What's your two cents on that subject matter?
It's a hold. Mm-hmm. It was the right call, and I don't like the call. Now, both things can be true.
Yeah.
You know, I would say you have to call that because in that moment, if I'm a receiver, I'm trying to get open, and there's a clear grab. This wasn't tic-tac. This is a clear grab of the jersey. And we know 10 times out of 10, you see that jersey pull, you're gonna get that flag thrown. Now, the reason I don't like it is because having a flag like that and then a last-second field goal, great for the Kansas City Chiefs and all the fans, yes, of course. But it's almost like an NBA Finals ending on a free throw. And I think that's why it left people uneasy, because it's like, all right, man, we could have just watched this go into overtime or at least let that offense really earn it with a touchdown. With all that said, Bradbury came out, said it was a hold. He thought he can get away with it. Other Eagles players basically said it's not his fault. We shouldn't have put him in that position. You're never going to look at one play. And that's me all day long. So, one, if this ever gets to Bradbury, if he's listening, bro, you're good. If you explained it one time, you said it was a hold, let it go, man. You had a good year. Don't worry about it. Because whether it's me as a wide receiver dropping a fourth quarter pass that could have won the game, or it's somebody else making a mistake, I would walk into that locker room not pointing the finger at that one person. I absolutely am disgusted by teammates that can walk into the locker room barking about one guy or go to the media and say, that guy ruined the game or blew the game for us. That just, I don't know, it makes my skin crawl. Because I feel like that's the weakest way to reflect what is the totality of the game. Like, in all reality, if your team is good enough, it would have never got to that point. And I'm not talking about the Eagles in particular. I'm just talking about teams that do place blame on a guy. I love what the Eagles did. I love everything about how they responded to that flag. You know, and I still think with all of what happened, the Eagles had an amazing year. So many guys on that roster proved to be superstars in this league. It's just unfortunate the game ended on what looked like a flag.
And it's interesting, Nate Burleson, that you rope the NBA in here now, because the Bradbury hold of Juju Smith-Schuster was the center of NFL Twitter turning into NBA Twitter yesterday when Juju Smith-Schuster on Valentine's Day put out a meme of, like, it was a Valentine's Day card. I'll hold you when it matters most. And a photo of James Bradbury up there saying, Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. I saw that. I'm like, wow. And I like Juju. I think he's exuberant, and I like his energy. But this is a line crossed, don't you think? Right there?
Yep, 100%. you know, I like being honest with you, Rich.
Yes, sir.
And that's why I can appreciate your platform.
Thank you.
And I also like showing the duality of how people can think. So just like you. I like Juju. I actually love him.
Yeah.
I think that type of energy on the field is necessary. And you need a guy like that can have fun in moments where maybe as a football player you forget, yeah, we're playing the kids' game. And maybe we play better when we're playing loose. So you need it for that. And on top of that, when he's healthy and on top of his game, he's a beast. We saw what he did in his younger days as a Steeler. On the flip side of that, here's where the duality kicks in. I think that move was very lame. So, and if I saw Juju, I'd be like, bro, that was lame. Why did you do that? Because you know Bradbury feels bad. Now, whether there's some beef between the two, some trash talk, or they have some stuff going on in the past, and you were just trying to take a dig at him, maybe that's understandable. But if you don't know him from a can of paint, he's just another competitor. There are unwritten rules amongst this brotherhood. Even though we're competitors, we're in the same fraternity, I'm not going to pour more dirt on you as you're laying on the ground suffering. You know, he feels absolutely terrible for that hold. Don't go out there and retweet or repost a meme like that. And, you know, I like A.J. Brown's response.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, congratulations. Yeah. First of all, let me get this out the way. And this is what I mean. This is what I mean by the duality and the respect within this fraternity and brotherhood. A.J. Brown was like, yo, congratulations out the way. So nobody can say that I'm mad about the loss. And then he went on to say, you're a TikToker and you got your career revived by Mahomes and this, that, and the third. And then you was never like that. Don't act like you were. And then he ends with, but congratulations again. That right there sums up a real man's emotions that just lost the game. Like that, and a guy that's pure heart. He's like, yo, real talk, congratulations. Y'all won a Super Bowl. That's dope. But what you just did was super duper lame. So let's leave that for everybody else. That's for the guys in the basements that troll, not the ones that put the jerseys on and line up on Sunday.
Plus, I mean, the whole country is talking about this hold, right? And many people think the call was the penalty call was lame or should not have been called. I had the same approach as you, Nate, which is like, yeah, did he tug his jersey? Yes, it's a hold. Bradbury even admitted it's a hold. But do you call it in that situation? I mean, this is the conversation, you know, not like you and part of the reason why he held is Juju did make a nice move on him, make a good move on him. But read the room, you know, like read the room before you hit send on that one. You know,
that's it. You got to read the room. And let's just,
my gosh,
let's just call it what it is. Rich, like, there's been times throughout Juju's career where he didn't necessarily read the room or read the locker room. So, you know, it was an immature move. And I just hope that he learns from it. And he's like, you know what? Maybe that was a bit much. You know, he should have just, you know, like, you know what made it, what made people kind of like uneasy about it? It's like, bro, you should be celebrating. You should be above all of this right now. Like, You're on cloud nine. You should even know what's happening on the ground level right now. We shouldn't even see you, bro. Your feet should be leaving the earth for the next week or so. Come back to earth with us and get on Twitter and be like, oh, that was funny. Do that a week later, but not like within hours of winning the biggest game of your life.
Too soon. It might be too soon, like forevermore for a lot of people, you know? And then Tyreek Hill seemed to chime in from the seats, you know, just stirring it up, talking about, because, you know, he, as you know, I'm sure Debo Samuel went on Brandon Marshall's podcast called Bradbury Trash, and he's intimating that, you know, that Debo called Bradbury Trash. Now they're throwing a flag on it. He said that Super Sunday night. Then yesterday he was kind of chiming in about the back and forth with Juju and A.J. Brown. And then Mahomes chimed in on Twitter. I don't know if you saw this. He said, that man must just be bored. And everyone's kind of wondering, Mahomes, who is he referring to as he's probably either leaving Disney World, Disneyland, Kimmel, or getting ready for the parade today? What do you think? Who is he referring to, do you think?
Rich, I'm going to keep it real with you.
Yes,
and let's be clear. Yeah. I have never won a Super Bowl. Didn't even get to one. You know, got close a couple of times, had some good teams that made the playoffs. But, like, if I win a Super Bowl, I'm not on Twitter. Unless it's an obligation or I want to show somebody some love. I might tweet to the fans, my teammates, coaches, my family. But I'm not getting involved in the riffraff. I'm not walking back to the cheap sheets cheap seats. I'm not sitting here trying to lower myself, lower my vibration, while enjoying the best moment of my life. But I don't know. I don't know who Mahomes was talking to. At first, I thought maybe he was listening to one of the pundits. And I had to check myself. I'm like, wait, did I say anything about Mahomes? or Mama Mahomes mad at me? I saw her on the red carpet of NFL Honors, and she was like, Nate, how you doing? I said, let me apologize. I called him Pat a few times early on in his career. We didn't know he was going to be this nice. So it's Patrick, he said. Yeah, damn right it's Patrick, okay? Don't make me come after you. Now, come on, let's get a picture. And I was like, all right, let's get a picture. So I don't want anybody in the Mahomes family mad at me, especially his pops. I don't want them to catch him on camera talking about he's smoking a Nate Burleson pack. I don't want that. You know, the whole Mahomes family, they be wild. And then his brother Jackson going to be making TikToks of me. I can't handle that, Rich. I'm too old. They're going to jump me. They're going to jump me, bro.
Nate Burleson, a few more minutes left with Nate here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, I've been fortunate in my 20 years with NFL Network. At the outset, I was the guy that the NFL Network says, you sit down with the halftime act of the Super Bowl. I interviewed Jagger and Keith Richards. I interviewed Bruce Springsteen, Coldplay, just to name a few. You sat down with Rihanna. What was it like when she walked in the room to sit down with you?
Incredible. You know, I like to joke and say it was kind of like when Charlie Murphy was describing Prince. You know, she kind of just glided into the room. And as she sat down, she had this glow about her. You know, maybe now I can look back and say it was a pregnancy glow, but
yes.
I just thought she had this gorgeous glow. She's as gorgeous on the inside as she is outside. And there's this energy that she possesses. And it's communicated in her music and her fashion and her business sense. She just has it, a complete comfort, all the while displaying this humility. You know, I remember talking to her. I'm like, yo, Rihanna, you almost broke the internet when it was announced you were the halftime act. She was like, yeah, I know. I just wasn't sure if I wanted to be outside. I don't know if people wanted me outside. I'm like, we wanted you outside. And I just thought that it was beautiful. It was beautiful to see. The conversation was as beautiful as she is. So I was thankful to kind of kick it with her in that moment. And of course, you know, all my boys is hitting me up, girls is hitting me up, people I work with, there's women I work with, like, what does she smell like? I'm like, if I got that answer, I think I would have got tackled by security. They would have Bobby Boucher'd me if I knew what she smelled like. I mean, I got too close. But I just tell everybody she is incredible, and so was her performance. For her to be pregnant and go up there and do what she did at that height with the elevation of the stage and the dancing, I thought she killed it.
I did too, and it was great in the stadium. It was an unbelievable. You know, when the fireworks are going off, you know, the same thing was for Katy Perry. The fireworks went off above that stadium when she did the halftime of the previous Super Bowl there between the Patriots and the Seahawks. Just really, it was amazing. It was amazing.
It really was.
And it was great to work with you. And, you know, great job getting Damian Lillard on our set. I just turn around and there you are chopping up. I'm like, oh, my God, that's Damian Lillard. I had to tell Mooch, you know, he's like, what team does he play for? I had to tell Mooch, like, it's the Blazers, the Trailblazers. That was great when he popped up there. Yeah. And he said, you know, he was nice and chill about the whole Super Bowl chat. But when I turn to him and I'm like, you know, all right, in a couple minutes I have left with you, who do you want to be the quarterback of the Raiders? And he perked up, right? He's
that
just like,
him up.
He's like, thank you for the opportunity. Yes, I will talk about it here. He didn't stutter. He said Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, with him being a Bay Area guy and now the Raiders being in Vegas, he still follows them. And he's like, yo, I want Aaron Rodgers. And he was confident. Like, that was the most excited he got. And I love that you tweeted, you know, what he said. He basically said, he said Mahomes is the Steph Curry of football. But the way that he praised Mahomes was how excited he got about Rodgers. So he obviously thinks that Rodgers can bring that MVP Rodgers to the Raiders.
Well, Nate, thanks for the time. Congrats on getting everything right. Your full conversation with Rihanna can be heard and checked out and seen on your new podcast, The Process with Nate Burleson, correct? That's where that is?
Yep, that's right, man. Okay. Appreciate it, brother.
Absolutely. And I told you, if you ever need somebody to fill in as a guest or anything like that on The Process.
I'm hitting you up.
You know,
I'm hitting you up, and I might come to LA to do it.
Please do that. Let me know, and then just the only thing is, you cannot, in the same way as your first guest, you cannot answer the question when people text you, "What does Rich Eisen smell like?" You keep that between us, okay?
Too late. I already made my mind up. I'm sniffing the side of your neck, man. You better muck up.
I look forward to that, Nate. You're the best, man. Thanks for the call. You be well.
Talk to you soon,
Nate Burleson. Check out The Process with Nate, along with CBS Mornings, the NFL Today, and so much more, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
As I'm interviewing Nate, I'm checking out the parade video. I mean, it was supposed to be over by now. I think buses have traveled somewhat slower than expected.
Well, they're supposed to start talking now, right?
That's right.
Yeah, they got to get up to the...
I think they're moving slower, like everyone on the buses, I think. Mahomes is hammered.
I don't think he's slept since Sunday.
We might end up having to do like a power rankings of the drunkenness level of the Super Bowl winning quarterbacks in the past few years.
Well, he's not Tom Brady drunk yet. Right? Yeah, no one's carrying him out.
Brady beats them all.
I mean, I made a T-shirt out of Tom Brady's drunkenness.
Yeah. Has anyone thrown the Lombardi trophy yet?
Not yet. By the way, speaking of T-shirts, there's an interesting one that's being worn by members of the Chiefs. We'll hit that when we finish up today's show. When we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku channel, this terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more.
Refresh your spring cleaning to-do list with an oil change bundle for your vehicle at Advance Auto Parts. Get 5 quarts of Mobil 1 Castrol, Valvoline, Pennzoil, or Fram oil bundled with a select oil filter for one low price. And right now, choose a Mobil 1 full synthetic oil change bundle starting at $39.99 and get a drain pan and funnel free. Right oil, right filter, right price every day. Only at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. Use the Advance Auto Parts app to build your bundle and pick it up at your nearest store.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
SZA. You seem like a person with a pretty high level of anxiety, but you also seem fearless artistically.
I feel like ideas have more power than identity. Like the excitement overrides insecurity. That is the only way that I'm ever able to accomplish anything.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, along with our Roku channel stream. Right now on CBS, there's the Einstein Verizon commercial. Every time I think I'm out, they're still doing it. And I'm telling you, I bet you NCAA action, you're going to see it a lot.
Kaput!
As a matter of fact, as he made that drop, it matched directly
to the,
fist pump brilliant moment. That freaked me out.
What the hell going on?
We need a punch up. Though.
I can't love that anymore.
I know.
We need to
what?
Amp it up. Let's revise.
Amp what up?
Let's get something new and fresh for the tourney, for the Masters.
I don't know, man. If the number that I heard they paid Paul Giamatti to dress as Scrooge and Einstein is accurate, they're going to use the hell out of these commercials.
Is he getting one-time paid? Does he get paid? He's got to get paid every time it's on.
No. Those days are over.
It's a one-shot.
There's no such things as commercial residuals anymore. No.
My friend bought a Corvette with doing that.
One shot.
Oh, that's good to know.
On a Cheerios commercial.
The offensive linemen for the Kansas City Chiefs have shown up to the parade in T-shirts.
Oh, yeah. These are great.
Put them up. Zero sacks.
Oh, wow.
Creed Humphrey, well done, sir. I'm telling you.
And green, too.
Is that? I can't tell.
Are we sure that?
It's green.
Are they just going to repurpose these for Oregon after?
Oregon. Exactly.
What'd I tell you? The stat that told the story for Super Bowl 57 that few people are talking about. They got it. Zero sacks. Mahomes sitting duck there, huh? He did move around pretty well.
Yeah.
I'm not coming around. Come around.
Come on.
You gamblers are all out of your minds, man. It's all fixed. It's all like, that's what Mahomes is.
This is your wake-up call, pal.
Thank you.
Isaiah Pacheco got off the bus, and it's just dancing down the street.
Good for him.
As he should.
Good for him. Kelsey's got the trophy.
Good for him.
This is great.
Yeah, everybody forgets, same round as Brock Purdy. He wasn't the last pick in the draft, but Isaiah Pacheco, seventh round pick. Let's use him. Let's get him scoring in the Super Bowl.
Touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Hey, that's it. Zero sacks of Patrick Mahomes against a team that had 78 sacks entering the Super Bowl on the entire season. They needed 5 sacks to be the all-time single-season sack leader in the history of the NFL. They were to pass the 85 Bears on the way to passing the 84 Bears. That's how good the Eagles were, and they didn't sack Mahomes once. And the 2 sacks that Hurts had was when he ran out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage. Nobody was just generally sitting in a pocket and got put down on his ass because these quarterbacks were so damn good. And the lines were good too, man. Some of the best line play you'll see, some of the best quarterback play you will see, some of the best receiving play you will see. What a high level these two teams played at in the highest level sporting event America puts on its stage and exports. Unbelievable. 0 sacks. Well done for them. 0 sacks. You got anything else for me over there? Anything else in the chamber?
I do real quick. You know who we should be giving some props to that other people aren't? Jerick McKinnon, man. When he went, he could have taken that ball into the end zone. And think about it. That's what you, your whole life, he's in the backyard, he's in the streets. I'm scoring a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And yet he remembered his training and he took the ball and he slid down short of the goal line to ensure glory for everybody else. Yep. So that's commendable, man, because you could have etched your name in the history, which you still did.
Yep.
But, man, that's true. I don't know. I respect that.
We would have got our 2-minute drive.
If he had run that in the end zone, it would have reversed the entire advantage they got from the holding penalty. Mm-hmm. It would have flushed their advantage right down the toilet. And again, when we get a member of the Chiefs on or one of our coaches' staff on, like, how did that get communicated? Andy had to basically say, we're not scoring. Stay in bounds, don't score. Get down.
What I read is the Chiefs, they call that church mode. So they
take a knee.
They're trained on that. They know in that situation when the clock's running down to get down. So he just remembered what they practiced and he did it. But still, that had to be so hard, Rich.
So the
you're right there.
So the order of events, corn dog, church mode.
Church mode.
Let's go corn dog. Let's go corn dog-ish on the other side. Yeah. Church mode.
Church mode.
None of it would have happened if it wasn't my idea in the script session to get that defensive flag thrown.
That's a good point.
You're welcome. Sorry, Philly. My idea. It was also my idea to get Nate Peterman in week 15.
Peterman.
I don't want to brag about where my fingerprints were, but the whole idea is just like, you know what?
Yeah, you don't want to sound like you're bragging. You don't want to take too much credit for the script.
When I said, let's get Jacoby Myers throwing that thing back and get it intercepted by a member of the
Chandler,
the Raiders. No, Chandler. I said, it's got to be Chandler Jones because the other guy's name is Mac Jones. That was my little twist. You know, I only know one speed, as you all know.
They send a script to you to punch it up, is what you're saying.
Well, it's sometimes it's my ideas. It's a collaborative effort. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds.
Makes sense.
We're out of time. Warren Sapp in studio, Ken Marino in studio, you watching on the Roku channel and listening. See you Thursday.
You loved Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
With her assistant, Jess.
L.A., it can become suffocating. Did something happen where you felt like, I have to get out of here? Or do you just think it just happens sometimes?
I think it just happens, but also just everything going on in my personal life. Like, I want to get on this mic and be like, this is what I've been dealing with for 14 months.
Give Them Lala, wherever you listen.